Savior Jesus Christ. We have the promises of God, and that's what we're looking at this summer, the promises of God. We know in the Scripture there are well over 7,000 promises. We're going to take a look at a few of them over the course of this summer. I guess I could be preaching my whole career if I were going to preach on all the promises of God. So we'll limit it to a few. And today we're going to focus on the promise that Jesus made to us about the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday. That when the Holy Spirit comes on us, we would have power. I mean, that's really what Jesus is saying to his disciples before he is crucified, dies, buried, and resurrected, and ascended. He tells them, he assures them that they will receive his power as the Holy Spirit comes on them. That same power that Jesus promised his disciples, he's promised to us. Listen to these words. "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." So two elderly couples who really enjoyed spending time together were having a delightful evening together. The women were inside in the living room talking. The men were out on the back porch smoking cigars. When one of the guys said to the other guy, "Say, we went to this great restaurant last night. You should check it out sometime. I'm sure you and your wife, Margaret, would really, really love this place." Well, the other man looked at him and said, "Well, what's the name of it?" The first guy said, "Well, you know, I'm getting a little bit older, and the older I'm getting, the more trouble I'm having remembering things. Maybe you could help me out here a little bit." And so he said, "What do you call that flower that has red petals and thorns on the stem?" He said, "You mean a rose?" Yeah, that's it." And with that, he yelled into the house, "Hey, Rose, honey, what's the name of that restaurant that we ate at last night?" We don't want to forget on this Pentecost Sunday the powerful work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But let's face it, so often we do as we deal with the reality of living in a very confusing world. The fears and the failures and the uncertainty of it all causes us to forget this power that Jesus has promised us. As we so often find ourselves in this kind of mystifying place, empowered but running on empty, directed yet doubting those directions, holding on to the promises of God yet overlooking who our God really is. But let's not forget who this God of ours is, because you see, our God is a promise maker. He offers us promises of blessing. I mean, think of those promises that God has offered to us of forgiveness of our sins, of life now and life for eternity. But it's not just some far-off promises that God gives to us. I mean, he offers us promises of protection in our day-to-day life. Promises of providence that he will care for our every need. Promises that give us in this confusing world hope and a future. Promises that can actually change people like us. But you see, more than a promise maker, This God of ours, you see, is a promise keeper. He does what he says he's going to do. And you see, our God, he's doing a new thing. He is in the process of breathing into us the very breath of life, molding us and changing us so that we can actually be the people that he created us to be. Sons and daughters, children of God, filled with his breath of life. As we are people who live with unshakable hope, trusting in those promises of God, even as we are putting those promises into action. And that's why over the next few months, we'll be focusing our attention on some of those promises that, of our God that are found in Max Lucado's book, Unshakable Hope. And today, we'll be focusing on this promise of people who are living with real power as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as those first disciples did, bringing a message of hope, bringing a message of life, bringing a message of salvation, even into a world that was confused. Because you see, our God, he comes with a message of invitation. A message to come to him, to listen to him, to trust in him as we are pushed along by the Holy Spirit, living a new and an abundant kind of life. Living the new life that is ours in Christ. For you see, in Jesus, God's Son and our Savior, we have one who's done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. For in Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus kept the promise of his Father. And in doing so, he gives us what we so desperately need so that we can stand secure on the promises of God even as we live out those promises. Because you see, this is the mission we've been given. This is our calling. This is our purpose as followers of Jesus, to stand on the promises of God as we tell of God's love for all people. Because we know the power of love. It's changed us, who we are and how we live. As we live a life that's not just hearing these promises of God in one ear and out the other, but actually putting those promises into practice. As we live differently, as we reflect the very heart of God and bring these promises to the people that God brings into our lives so that they too can begin to experience this life-changing love of God and be followers of Jesus too. And you and I can have this impact on the world around us, the people around us, the culture around us, as we start living with unshakable hope. As we find real clarity in the promises of Pentecost. For you see, this is the promise that Jesus made to you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I must say it was probably one of our favorite family activities when our kids were little. Bike riding. And I remember some of the early days of bike riding. Pulling that buggy behind me, I had one of those things. The kids would sit in it and I'd pull them all around the neighborhood. And they'd have, you know, snacks back there and they'd have their stuffed animals. And I was just kind of sweating up front, you know, pulling them around. That wasn't so bad when you had to compare it to training wheels. You know, when you put the training wheels on and they try to keep up and, you know, you're always kind of circling back, you know. And then the training wheels came off and then it was the challenge of riding with a new biker. And I guess you could say we would push our kids a little bit because one of our favorite rides was along the Fox River out in Aurora. And there were some, there were some things you had to be able to do, like cross bridges over the river. And there was some bike traffic on that path. There was some places there was some car traffic. But I think the biggest challenge were some of those hills, the ups and the downs. But you see, as we were riding, my kids were, they were never alone, you see. I was always behind them. And when I saw them struggling up those hills, I would ride up next to them and I'd put my hand on their back and I would push them all the way up to the top of the hill. Now, sometimes you and I, we need a push too, don't we? We need a push when life gets tough. We need a push when doubts rise in our minds. We need a push when we just don't think we can make it. Well, the good news is, for you and me, we're not alone. We have someone who is here with us and ready to give us the push that we need. For you see, we have been promised the very Spirit, the very breath of God, His indwelling in us, His very presence. That was Jesus' promise to His disciples and to us just before He ascended into heaven. Listen again to those words from Acts 1:8. This is the last thing, one of the last things that He said to His disciples and to us. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, He didn't promise, if you notice, He didn't promise everything would be easy. He didn't promise that there wouldn't be trouble. He didn't promise a certain income or status. But He did promise that we would be Roman numeral one, that we would be pushed by the Spirit. A push that would change us even as we seek to change the world around us. Now, those first disciples were certainly changed as they were filled with the Spirit on that first Pentecost. As the wind blew and the earth shook and the fire descended from above, they were empowered, weren't they? Empowered to speak and to act and to live in a whole different kind of way. And so are we. As we receive, point number one, as we receive power. Life-giving, life-changing, life-altering power. For you see, in your baptism, we have been given access to the same Spirit that was given on that first Pentecost. The same Spirit that gives to you and me the very power and the personality of our God. You see, as the Spirit comes into our lives, a transformation begins to occur. We start to begin to think the way God thinks. We start to love the way God loves. We begin to see the way God sees. You see, we are nudged by the Spirit to serve others in power. We're nudged along by the Spirit to pray in power. We are nudged along by the Spirit to walk in power. But so often, we doubt that power, and it shows in our lives. As we focus on our own resources, but end up running on empty, worn out, tired out, and broken down. As we rely on our own solutions, but so often find no answers. As we fail to trust in the one who has so much to give. Limiting ourselves when we live this way to our strength and our wisdom and our power. And we struggle, don't we? We struggle to get up the hill. But you see, the same power, the same breath that raised Jesus from the dead is ours for the taking. That's what the St. Paul, the apostle, discovered. That's what he meant when he wrote these words in Romans. He said, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And this life can be lived now as we point number two, as we experience unity. P for power, U for unity. As we are made one by the power of the Holy Spirit, made one with the Father, connected to Jesus, forgiven of our sins, renewed and restored, so that we can be people who seek harmony in our families, so that we can be people who seek harmony in our relationships, so that we can be people who seek harmony in our church. Not creating unity, harmony by our own power, but keeping the unity the Spirit provides to us. And what a blessing that can be as we live life together, as we worship together, as we serve together, showing those around us the unity the Spirit can bring into our lives that were once divided and broken. As we, point number three, are sealed by the truth. As the Spirit is at work in our lives through word and sacrament, sealing this truth in our hearts and in our minds, as the Spirit brings into our lives and seals within us comfort and truth. As the Spirit offers on our behalf prayers of intercession, as he tells us in our ears when we begin to doubt that we are truly the children of God and nothing in all of creation can change that. For that, you see, is what we are as we are, point number four, as we are made holy. Joined to Jesus by faith, to his death and resurrection. Made new and different people through his death and resurrection. For you see, it was Jesus who gave up his Spirit, taking our sin, dying our death, in love, giving of himself, and the promise that because he lives, new life is a guarantee for you and for me. Life now, as this Spirit, his Spirit, breathes the breath of life into us. Life eternally, as God fills us with his Spirit, so that we can really and truly live as his people. I don't know if you heard about the family who was celebrating their son's high school graduation. They were celebrating with family and friends, with food and drink, with a cake from Walmart. Now the cake looked good. I mean, it had fancy decorations. They even spelled the kid's name right. You know, they got that right. There was creamy frosting all over the top of it. The only problem was, it was a styrofoam cake. It was fake. It was a fake cake. You see, when we stifle the work of the Spirit in our lives, when we don't listen, when we don't obey, when we don't trust, we can look much the same way. pretty on the outside, but fake on the inside. But it doesn't have to be that way, as we are Roman numeral 2, as we are guided by the Spirit to move in a new direction with a new purpose, as we are pushed by the Spirit, as we, point number 1, walk in step with the Spirit. Listening, trusting, obeying. And as the Spirit nudges us along, we have the opportunity to take the hint, don't we? And maybe you've been in one of those circumstances where you says, this is weird, somebody's saying something to me that I should say or do. Right? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And we say, oh, I can't do that. We walk away. We miss out on the opportunity. But you see, the power is there. That same power that filled those first disciples has been given to you and me. You see, those first disciples, they listened, they obeyed, they trusted. Now they some people thought they were crackpots, right? That they were drunk in the morning. But amazing things, incredible things happened beyond what we can imagine. And you see, we can do those amazing things too. As we, point number 2, as we live abundantly. As we are actually people who are producing the fruit of the Spirit. Things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. As God's Spirit is working in us to help us do those things that please Him and benefit so many other people. For you see, the same hand that pushed the rock away from the tomb, that hand can shove your doubts away. The same power that stirred the still heart of Christ can stir your failing faith. The same strength that put Satan on his heels can and will defeat Satan in your life. You have power in your life. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you, pushing you to be the person God is calling you to be, as we are people who are following Jesus together. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts, minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.